It can feel like 90% of what we do as DPC doctors deals with mental health. And we do our best to deliver care when our patients can't access psychiatrists and therapists. Wouldn't you love an additional tool in your tool belt to easily enhance patient mental health care? Let me tell you about Bruin Health. With a simple referral, Bruin Health evaluates patients, recommends therapies, and identifies personalized resources. It's entirely automated, allowing patients to access it anytime, anywhere. Results are immediate, bypassing lengthy waits for appointments. Bruin employs proprietary AI technology refined with researchers to ensure thorough, evidence-based evaluations. After assessment, it suggests resources such as virtual care, digital apps, and therapists tailored to patients' needs. A concise report summarizes key points for both you and your patients. Bruin costs just a tiny fraction of what a behavioral health professional would charge for a similar evaluation. They are also offering a free trial to our listeners. To learn more and sign up, go to bruinhealth.com. That's bruinhealth.com, or check out the link in the show notes. Be sure to mention My DPC Story to get your free trial. Direct primary care is an innovative alternative path to insurance-driven healthcare. Typically, patients pay their doctor a low monthly membership and, in return, build a lasting relationship with their doctor and have their doctor available at their fingertips.
I'm Jennifer Hetrick, MD of Hetrick Health, and this is my DPC story.
Today on the podcast, we have Dr. Jennifer Hetrick of Hetrick Health. She completed her medical training at Case Western School of Medicine and served as chief resident during her time at the University of Missouri Columbia. She is double boarded in both family and lifestyle medicine. Dr. Jennifer is a mom with two teenage daughters and opened her DPC doors in October of 2019. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me, Marielle. I'm so excited for my DPC story, to have this as a venue for all of us to share our stories and to help educate the public about a way to get back to a personal, accessible way of healthcare. Yes, so I have been a family medicine physician for about 20 years and had a couple placeholders during that time, the last of which was being in urgent care when we made a move back to Ohio, which is where I was mostly born and raised. And the urgent care was purchased. So when the urgent care was sold, I had the option of realizing my dream, which was to open my own family medical center. I had hoped to be the MD component of a holistic health center, and but hadn't lived in a place where that existed. I looked around and there wasn't one that I saw I could join. And so I thought to myself, sometimes you have to be the change you wish to see. And I thought this was my perfect nudge to open the practice that I've always wanted to. So I did a little bit of market research. I asked around and found that it was very difficult for an independent physician to survive on their own here. There's a large IPA, Independent Physicians Association, that's very successful. But even then, there were some limitations that weren't going to allow me to do what I really wanted to do. So after looking around at different models, I happened upon the model of DPC, and I haven't looked back.
Thank you for sharing your journey into the DPC world with us. I wanted to touch on the fact that you are double boarded in both the American Board of Family Medicine and the American Board of Lifestyle Medicine. Can you tell us a little bit about your training in lifestyle medicine and how you incorporate that into your practice?
Yes, thank you. I was lucky to both at Case Western and at the University of Missouri have a medical school residency that looked at the broader picture of health. Even before it was cool, we were talking about biopsychosocial models, and we were talking about holistic health. And I created some alternative and integrative medicine rotations during both medical school and residency to pursue that. So I already had that family and community medicine viewpoint and perspective. But when I allowed my life to take over the busyness of life, the sedentary job of commuting in the car, sitting and talking to patients, sitting and charting, Even a standing desk didn't help me in terms of feeling like I was losing some of my own sense of good health. I wanted to get a lifestyle medicine physician for myself. And when I looked around, there wasn't anybody that I could find that was specifically going to help me with that journey. So, again, with the phrase, be the change that you want to see, I looked into, well, I was busy raising children and working in other practices. And working in urgent care, people were out there gathering data and showing the evidence-based part of lifestyle medicine change and working on motivational interviewing further, health coaching, and the American College of Lifestyle Medicine was available, not just for helping spread the word and learning about it, but also with a certification process. So that just had my name all over it, and I trained, did the continuing education that was needed, attended the American College of Lifestyle Medicine conference in 2018 for the first time, and board certified that same year, and have really enjoyed bringing that to my practice. I think that we're going to bankrupt the medical system. We're going to bankrupt our health if we don't start working on food and movement and lifestyle as medicine.
Definitely. And that really adds to why DPC can be so appealing to people because now you have the time to discuss those things with patients. One of the things that you list on your website is offering nutrition and cooking classes for your patients. So can you tell us about how that looks like in your practice?
And I want to back up just a second to talk about the lifestyle medicine piece. There are lots of good things to DPC, to direct primary care, but one of the biggest parts for me was that chance to get to know people on a deeper level and to have time to dig a little deeper with the with lifestyle change. Because I really do believe the current system, as it's set up, is more about sick care than health care. And it sounds cliche, but it really is true. A good family physician has always been doing lifestyle medicine, but increasingly the structure, the model of insurance-based healthcare has been pushing that out. We can counsel about diet when somebody's obese, but as soon as they get back into normal range, we can counsel, but we aren't reimbursed for it. We aren't reimbursed for the time it takes to really drill down and find out what are people eating, how are they sleeping, how are they moving. Those are casually talked about during a visit if somebody's good, but in a 10 or 15 minute visit, there's usually not enough time, not enough time to address barriers. So direct primary care puts the sort of control back in my interactions and the time I can spend with patients. So that was the first biggest gift. The second, because I actually have time to talk about it. The second thing is that when in insurance, most of the time, the billing is about, again, being sick or having a diagnosis. With direct primary care, people are paying me, and I can talk about whatever we want to talk about. And so, in other words, they don't have to be sick to see me. And I love that because we can talk about health, we can do health coaching, we can talk about lifestyle change, we can talk about goals for their life, we can talk about whatever is needed to get them to be their best selves. And it also gives me time to really get to know people and link them to the services that I don't that I don't provide, or that maybe they need a little bit more special attention on. So it's really been a fantastic model for me to incorporate lifestyle and medicine. The nutrition and cooking classes are a couple fold. During that first year of investigating lifestyle medicine, I became a CHIP trainer. That's a complete health improvement program that Dr. Hans Diehl has been a great proponent of and has a lot of research to back up its use as an outpatient intensive lifestyle change agent. And so that's one formal way that I can reach patients and is very lovely structured, both in terms of education. They have videos and workbooks. The power is in the group and the community in terms of helping each other, being accountability partners, sharing tips and tricks with how to prepare healthy food and move our bodies more, stress less, connect to community and our sense of purpose. But then I also do have just looked at our community and said, where are some opportunities to get this message out there? And I have really enjoyed working with the farmers market. I started a healthy habits talk with them. And so just once a month, because that was manageable with my schedule, I go there for, I first actually start with walk with a doc in the morning, right before the market, which we can talk about in a minute. And then I do something that usually has, before COVID anyway, had a food sample, a recipe that they could go home with, and a demonstration. And it was linked to some sort of health topic of the month. And so basically, again, trying to get the word out locally that, what we do with our bodies and our lives matters and is actually the best medicine to prevent, modify, or reverse disease. The other thing I do now that COVID's in place is I'm going to do these all taped and virtually by a variety of modalities, probably using Facebook and Instagram for the two most common ways for me to do that. I'm probably going to put buttons and links on my website, but those are things I aspire to and I haven't actually done. COVID put a little bit of a hitch in my plans. The other thing I've done in the meantime is I've sent links to my patients, emails, recipes of the week, a demo how to use my Instant Pot, how to, saute without oil. I also did a Forks Over Knives Ruby RX online cooking course, which is available to anybody. There's also a shorter, smaller Culinary RX cooking show. So I try to link people to services that might be helpful and support what they're going through as well.
Well, especially during these pandemic times, that is excellent that you're still able to get information to people, cooking classes to people, nutrition classes for people without having to put anybody in an uncomfortable situation where a person might be discouraged to go to. So you're still able to get that message out. I can definitely picture you at the farmers market with the Walk for a Doc group, and I hope, like we all do, to get back to that life someday. You also mentioned on your website your hours are 8 to 2:30 and then 6 to 8 p.m. I love that because it's not a standard, we're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Can you tell us about how you set those hours and how have they been working for you?
Yes, regarding my hours, that was a great tip from one of the DPC folks along the way, which is two to threefold. One is that if you've seen one DPC, you've seen one DPC. So I have a chance to create something that doesn't just work for my patients, but that can work for me. And the second thing would be to say that one of my favorite roles in life is being mom to our teenage daughters. And between 3 and 6, roughly, is when they were getting out of school and needed to have a taxi mom, somebody to shuttle them to their various activities. So the patients I wanted to attract, I wanted to know right away that their schedule could match up with my availability. So for instance, if somebody can only ever talk to me at 4 in the afternoon, that's probably somebody who needs to find a different DPC doc. So it's sort of preparing the way for the patients that were going to be the best fit for my practice. Now, having said that, with COVID, things have changed, and our kids have actually been doing some online schooling, so that the my hours will change with that and have changed with that. But I love that we can just put out there what's going to work for me and for my patients.
Something that I hope all doctors who are in fee for service are very jealous of, right? I know that locally I've talked to so many people who are small business owners and they can't see a doctor between 8 to 5, and that's their main reason for not having seen a doctor in 5 years, 10 years in some cases. So the fact that you're able to adjust your schedule and prepare future patients for that type of schedule that is accessible also is wonderful.
Another great piece about scheduling that COVID has actually brought to the attention of many other traditional practices is that DPC was a front runner in using technology that would allow us to do secure texting and secure video chats so that we could reach our patients and our patients could reach us in very convenient ways. So what I loved is that in my DPC practice, I could have somebody who was gardening on the weekend call me on a Monday and say, "Guess what, doc? I have a rash that looks like poison ivy," and they can stay at work, snap me a picture of their rash, tell me a little bit about their symptoms, and I can stay in the comfort of whatever, wherever I am, my home, my office, the car in the parking lot waiting for the kids, and give them appropriate medical advice and even prescribe from that technology as well, so that people can, it is friendly to workers. They don't have to stop what they're doing, drive, sit in a waiting room, and have all that process. And the other part is that reachability after hours. The other thing about evening hours is that and even weekends is that we can be more available, but we can compensate ourselves with time later if we want and need. And the other part is that for the DPC docs and people thinking about it out there, is that we're so used to thinking about what it's like to be in traditional insurance-based medicine, and we're running on a hamster wheel trying to take really good care of patients while seeing a large volume of patients so we can pay for our front staff and our nurse slash MA, our biller, our coder, our back end accounts receivable. We're having to pay for so many other people's salaries that we have to really run patients through. That is the beauty of DPC. We can function on a smaller per capita staff and be able to take good care of people.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you to Spruce Health for supporting the My DPC Story podcast. The ways we communicate have changed dramatically over the past decades, but technology and tools in healthcare have not kept pace. Patients want more access and digital convenience, as well as the ability to text their care teams. Care teams are inundated with more communication and rising expectations, but are still using tools and technology stuck in prior decades. Spruce Health created a solution for the tech-forward DPC practice by creating a communication product designed to serve both the patient and the doctor through intuitive HIPAA-compliant workflows, tagging, scheduled messages, and triage templates ready for use, whether you're on your phone or in the exam room. New users get 20% off for the first 12 months of a paid plan with code MARYAL20. That's MARYAL20. So check out Spruce Health today at sprucehealth.com or check out the link in the show notes. Absolutely. I want to shift to, on your website, you also are listed as a partner with Sidera. And so as people are finding value in the direct primary care movement as patients, people are also looking for alternatives to run-of-the-mill insurances. And one of those is Sidera Health. So could you share about what that means that you are a partner with Sidera, and how has that helped you attain members?
Yeah, thank you. So just to be clear, I'm not actually a partner in the sense that there's nothing legal, nothing signed, there's no shared finances, there's no kickbacks or anything like that. But what they are is an organization that I believe is a great complement to direct primary care. So Sidera is a medical cost sharing program where people pay, much like DPC, they pay a monthly rate. And then they are able to go to that community when there is a larger expense to ask for some support in those medical expenses. It's really important to educate yourself about those. There's other similar products out there called health sharing ministries people might be familiar with. But because they have stood behind their patients well, and because it's a good fit for people who, like me, or direct primary care, can be an enormous savings. So people who are in my practice who choose to do Sidera get a break on the Sidera pricing, because Sidera knows that patients of direct primary care practices have had the time to know their doctors. The doctors have time to interview them well and examine them well, and therefore tend to have better outcomes, have better preventive measures, are able to be kept out of the urgent care and ER so that they are lower expense to be taken care of by Sidera. So they give them a break that way.
It's a great resource for people to know, especially given what has happened with insurances and healthcare during this pandemic. I have become a huge fan of podcasts. Ever since Sarah Koenig hosted the first season of Serial, I was hooked. Now, creating this podcast has become part of my daily life. While it is an exciting new hobby, I also see it as a privilege that I get to interview so many DPC and direct care doctors. If you are interested in starting a podcast, let me tell you a little bit about Anchor. First of all, it's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast as well with no minimum listenership. It's basically everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. because you are approaching your 1 year anniversary, and congratulations on that, I wanted to
Thank
see,
you.
yeah, I wanted to see if you could share any challenges you might have had to face since you opened your doors, and how have you overcome those challenges?
So thank you, because I actually have had a number of challenges. And there is a Chinese figure that for the word crisis. It's made up both of a figure for danger and a figure for opportunity. And so what I'd like to think of is when I'm having my challenges is, what's the opportunity here? The other thing that people have said to me is that the entrepreneurship is self-growth disguised as a business pursuit. And I have definitely feel like this whole thing has been a personal growth challenge, whether there's insecurities, there's business side of knowledge to gather and grow. So, and I had a number of challenges. The first one being that I found my space before I was ready to open. But knowing how good the space was, I didn't want to lose it. So when all of a sudden I was responsible for rent, that made me jump in before I was just a little bit quite ready. So I didn't have my name. I did have my business entity, but I didn't have my name. I didn't have a logo. I didn't have furniture. I didn't have equipment. And I think I failed to mention at the beginning that I actually was opening in a new community. So I wasn't known and I wasn't porting patients with me. So this was going to be a DPC from scratch. I felt like I was starting behind the eight ball. But for those who are considering joining this movement, I opened my first patient with a card table and a nice little tablecloth and a set of flowers and two small chairs, my stethoscope and a blood pressure cuff, and the desire to listen and the time to do it. So I really feel like you don't have to have everything perfect when you start off. Another challenge was a financial challenge having to do with the bookkeeping program I decided to use for my practice. Everybody told me it was such a great, easy thing to do. It turned out for me, it wasn't such an easy thing to do. And there were some financial glitches that happened that impacted my bottom line. So I just needed to eat humble pie, take a deep breath, reach out to my friends to tell them that I had made this mistake and I felt so bad, feel shored up by my DPC friend community, and just go out there and much like a CEO is much like a captain of ship. And this was a chance for me to course correct. And it'll be one of many times I'm sure we'll have to course correct on the business side of things. So the first was to start off in a new community with my space ahead of my practice and no logo and the financial program. But I can tell you that the creativity this allows me to make my own rules and pick my own equipment to set my own hours, to take the time I want with patients has just, it's so meaningful that it wipes out any stress that those things might look like from the outside.
That's wonderful to hear, especially given that you're probably speaking words that are true for a lot of people. When you are in a doctor's mindset and you are jumping into a doctor's and businessman mindset, I'm sure that everyone has their challenges, whether big or small, and you have overcome your challenges and have used the root of and heart of DPC to get you through those tough times. I
Yeah,
wanted to
thanks.
ask some rapid fire questions. The first of
Sure.
which is, do you have any tech or tools that you use and love?
Yes, I love my portable EKG machine. It'll and I everything I have is portable. So I can take my blood pressure cuff and my thermometer and my pulse ox and my EKG machine and my stethoscope and my little black bag and do home visits, which I love. I'm also have a slated next to get a point of care ultrasound and a dermatoscope.
Yeah, the dermatoscopes are amazing as well. I think that that will provide a lot of value to your patients, especially for things that are precancerous or cancerous that you can remove because you've identified them using your dermatoscope. In terms of resources that you might recommend to others, do you have any in particular that you'd like to add to the resources you've previously mentioned?
So I'd like to give a shout out to Spruce. That's the app, the platform I use to do our HIPAA compliant texting. It's affordable. The patients are reassured that they can send me pictures and files and questions. It's a large part of my practice, to be quite honest. And it can integrate with my electronic medical record, which is a nice feature. Also has some telemedicine features and for some asynchronous communication, and also provides a phone number if somebody wants. It goes right to my cell phone, so nobody has to know whether I'm actually
Perfect.
physically in the office or not.
For those who are considering jumping into DPC, what is something that you could tell them to give them a little extra nudge?
Hold the hands of your DPC community and jump. It's so worth it. You won't want to look back. And as you're jumping, know that part of your safety net needs to be a financial plan for, a real good look at where you are financially with student loans, with family obligations. How are you going to bridge that initial startup cost time? But use the support of your DPC community.
For listeners who might want to reach out to you, what is the best way to get a hold of you?
Yes, thank you. I'd love for people to reach out. I'm happy to answer any questions or to explain the model further. My website is www.hetrickhealth.com. That's www.HET like Tom, RICKHEALTH.com.
Thank
Phone.
you so much, Dr. Jennifer, for joining us today. Best of luck with everything going into the future.
Thank you so much. I really love this forum and I look forward to hearing other people's stories as well. Thank you, Marielle.
Next week, look forward to hearing from Dr. Janine Rodhams of Santa Cruz DPC. Until then, this is Marielle Conception. For more information on this episode and much more, please visit mydpcstory.wixsite.com/mysite. That's mydpcstory.wixsite.com/mysite.